Welcome to Vision Destiny 2018. I'm going to share some of the things that God's been speaking to me about. I'm going to review things that occurred in 2017 in regards to what was revealed in Vision Destiny 2016. Were those things fulfilled? Did things come to pass? What did God say last year? I had a year where God spoke to me a lot. I had journals which are full of conversations with God, and a whole year in which God began to challenge and reconfigure my understanding in so many different ways. What did God do last year? What encounters did I have? What encounters are people having? So what has God said for 2018? What season are we in now? What does God want us to do in 2018? Where does God want us to go in 2018? I want to share revelation from my journals, what God said, the words that he spoke to me. What did God show me? Visions, encounters, heavenly experiences that I had. What does God mean by revealing that? Because I'm not assuming any longer that I understand and know exactly what God means when he says things. I want to pursue relationship that will open up those meanings. What is the application for me? What's the application for the church here? What's the application for the wider church, for the Engaging God program, for those who are engaging with us around the world? What is God saying? What does he want us to take from the relationship we have with him? Yeah, my mind, my own understanding have continued to be messed up by my experiences of God. The more I've encountered God, the more I realize that I didn't know what I thought I knew. And so the whole past year, I've been focusing on looking at new versus old. What is new thinking? What is old thinking? That focus has caused me to reevaluate so many things. It's been challenging the theological and doctrinal assumptions that I had, of the very character, the nature of God, of salvation itself. All those things have been challenged because I've met God, I've gone deeper into his love, and as I've done that, his love has unveiled things beyond what I could have imagined or thought. So we're in for a little bit of a wild ride of discovery. Things that are assumptions that everyone makes are being challenged. The very core beliefs that we might have held are going to be challenged by the extravagantly revealed love of God, who's Father, Son, and Spirit. And he's invited us into the circle of that relationship, and he wants to unveil the truth of who he is in that relationship so we can know the truth of who we are. Because I think one of the key areas for 2018 is sonship. Arising to our position of sons, responding to the groan of creation, the longing of creation, looking for the revealing of the sons of God. If we do not know our Father, then we cannot be the reflection of him as a son. And if we see God as a mirror that when we look into, we see us reflected, if our understanding and the truth that we think we know about God is distorted, then what we see back is a distorted image of sonship. We need to see the true Father so that we can be true sons. As God reveals himself to us, it will be like first love all over again, truly discovering who he really is, discovering the truth about who he is, embracing that truth, letting that truth transform and change us and transfigure us into the fullness of sonship. The God that we thought we knew is going to be exposed as the biggest lie of all time perpetrated by religion. And religion presents a distorted image of God that causes us to need to appease or sacrifice to him rather than enjoying a relationship with him. What we thought we knew through the assumptions and presumptions of religion will be starkly contrasted by the truth revealed and unveiled by true reality when we have our personal experiential encounters with God. If we do not know God by experience, we do not know God at all. To know in Hebrew, to know in Greek, actually means to have a personal experiential encounter. And in one sense, we've encouraged people to believe by faith, and that being blind faith, when everyone in the Bible didn't believe by blind faith. They believed by the faith that was created when they met with God. Because God gives us the faith when we experience him to believe. Moses, Abraham, Adam, they didn't believe God who did not exist to them. They believed God because they walked with him and experienced him. And all the way through the Old Testament and in the New Testament, did Jesus' disciples believe in him by blind faith? No, they experienced walking with him every day. He personally called them into a relationship. He walked out that relationship. They ate together. They engaged together. He saw them follow him. They saw him doing miracles. It was the reality of a relationship. And we have presented the good news to people that believe it without an experience. God wants us to experience and encounter him and present that as the way in which everyone can experience and encounter him. The matrix of religion that has been pulled over our eyes to blind us to the reality of who God is going to be removed. It's going to be removed because God is going to encounter people, and the reality of that encounter is going to shatter what has been blinding us. The question is, are we willing to swallow the red pill to see just how deep this goes? Deep is calling to deep. Are we willing to respond to the call to go deeper than ever before? Because God is calling us. The sound of heaven is drawing us. You know, eternity is in our hearts, it says in Ecclesiastes. And that eternity is drawing us back to that place where we were birthed, in his heart. If you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. A famous quote from The Matrix, one of my favorite films. Wonderland is an apt description of our mind renewed so that we can live true freedom of the relationship that we will encounter experientially with God. It is awesome to go beyond our intellectual understanding, theological perspectives and doctrinal positions to engage the truth of who God really is. I promise you it is a journey of discovery that's well worth the cost. And there may well be a cost. But I promise you that if you're willing to suspend your disbelief, you will be rewarded with treasure beyond measure. God wants to take us into a new reality, truth, veritas, the nature of Jesus himself, the truth. He wants to reveal that truth to us. I promise you a wild ride that will rock you to the core and leave you standing on the true rock and not on the foundations of the sand of our own unbelief. We have been going deeper into intimacy of relationship so that we can transition from focusing purely on relationship to responsibility of sonship that inevitably is revealed when we truly know the heart of the Father. We are called to be involved in outworking the heart of the Father as his sons. So we're in transition from old ways to new ways. And in transition, often the old ways stop working to encourage us to embrace the new ways. And as we embrace that, we need to let go of our old ways of thinking, let go of our own mindsets, and be willing to be changed and transformed and renewed so that we can truly know who God is and who we are. So our old earthly ways need to be replaced by new heavenly ways. This is a characteristic of where we are. God is calling us to come across, enter into the veil, the torn veil, into the realms of heaven, and live from that place as Jesus did. Live in dual realms. Be in heaven, outwork heaven into the earth as a gateway of heaven into the earth. To do that, we need to experience the reality of heaven. We need to see the earth from a heavenly perspective. So evangelism, prayer, intercession, authority, spiritual warfare, ministry, revelation, provision, everything seen from a new heavenly perspective. Therefore, it will change and challenge what we thought about those things. Everything must be established from a heavenly perspective first before it can manifest in the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have the privilege of being involved in as it is in heaven, establishing there where we're seated in heavenly places in positions of authority, operating under the authority of the sonship that we have to establish things so they can be outworked onto the earth. When we begin to engage God face to face, the intimacy that we have with him exposes many doctrines and theologies that we just presume to be true as distortions and misrepresentations of the truth, because we've experienced the truth. We just don't think we know it and understand it. We've been challenged in many areas of our belief system, and we will continue to be challenged if we pursue God in deeper and deeper intimacy. So, new versus old, the rabbit hole with seemingly no bottom. I've not exhausted, and how could we exhaust, the fullness of God and our relationship with Him? There's so much more to come. When I began to look at evangelism from a new perspective and realized the way we did evangelism was more attuned to presenting fear and trying to get people to believe in a loving God by scaring them and how God could punish them, it opened up such a can of worms. It led me to look into depths of subjects like the nature and character of God, the nature of judgment and justice, penal substitutionary atonement, which I'd never really thought of until I saw that it was only a doctrine which came into the church around the 11th century. The nature of sacrifice, the nature of sin itself. Rather than our behaviors, it's our lost condition, losing our identity. The original sin, what happened? Orthodoxy, what is orthodox? I've found so many people are thinking everything we believe from an evangelical perspective today is the orthodox position, not realizing that the early church in the majority believed very little of what we believe today. So the orthodox position is not orthodox at all. It caused me to look at the subjects of hell and salvation and inclusion and resurrection and deconstruction of my mind so that my experience of the character and nature of God is what defines my relationship with Him, not all these theoretical positions I held because I heard other people talk, I'd read books about it, but I'd never experienced it. As I've experienced God, it has changed and deconstructed my mind and challenged me. So I believe 2018 will be a transition from the season of justice into a season of grace for the Joshua generation, those who are forerunners who are embracing destiny. There will be many others who continue. Heaven functions on seasons in times, and there are four seasons that heaven functions on: judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And in 2015, we went from where we were in the old way of looking at things. There was a new beginning, an end of a generation, beginning of a new generation, to restart things from a fresh perspective. And in a sense, the judgment that was released on the old order of things, the mediatorial Moses generational order, coverings of men, putting people under people rather than open heaven and under God. God is our covering. All those things were judged and found wanting. And justice has been the outworking of that judgment, in that we can be free to have a open heaven access into the mysteries of God, into relationship with Him, without a mediator, without having to go through anybody else. The Joshua generation have access into, as all people do, but forerunners went first. Joshua and Caleb crossed over, saw the promised land, saw the wonder of it, that it was God's blessing for them, and they responded. Of course, everyone else said, no, we're not going into that land. But they then eventually led another generation in. And God is raising up a generation who will accept their inheritance as sons of God and then won't pass the baton to the next generation, but will walk with the next generation with the baton together and eventually pass that and walk with the next generation together so that we can get three generations in government on the earth. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God expressed Himself in the I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have never had three generations that have worked together from that point. And God wants to reinstitute government of a representation of Father, Son, and Spirit in three generations working on the earth. I believe as the Joshua generation, we're here to call and to engage the next generation, revealing their sonship so that they can reach the world, so that three generations can hopefully bring Jesus back. But He's not coming back until the restoration of all things. So we're involved in that restoration. So I believe we're going to transition from this season of justice into the season of grace. Now, our understanding of grace needs to be challenged and changed. I was engaging God around grace last year, and it reminded me of things that God spoke to me in 2010. And I went back to my journals of engaging heaven and the things God talked to me about grace and an understanding of it. And I realized how little I understood then. And in the last 7 years, it's been an unveiling and an unfolding journey of revelation to reveal what grace truly is. And even though God spoke to me about it, I didn't understand what he was trying to convey. Now I believe I'm getting there. Grace is the divine enabling power of God demonstrated. It is God's ability to hold all things together in creative order. There is not just grace, there is manifold grace, there is greater grace, and there is grace upon grace to come. And this will go beyond anything we've ever seen before. God told me that the concept of the Force in Star Wars is not a New Age concept, but is in fact a reality of an outworking of grace. Now, I love science fiction and I like Star Wars and those things, but I was a little bit skeptical, thinking, what does he really mean? But I began to realize that grace flows through our very physical and emotional being. Everything. God's grace is integral in the whole of creation. It is in everything. It is the strings that are the foundation building blocks. It is the vibrational frequency of his voice that holds creation together. Grace flows through every cell of our bodies, every thought of our minds, every synapse and every charge of thought. Grace flows through every emotion, even our tears. It is the very nature of our spirit, who we really are, as a manifestation of God's grace, light, beings in his image. Grace is the essence that God breathed into Adam and that Jesus breathed into his disciples. Grace is the image of the invisible and all things created, both visible and invisible, heavenly. All things hold together. The vibration, the resonance, the strings of the universe, harmony and frequency, the song of the universe, which holds it all together in purpose, like the tuning fork of creation, grace. It is so much more than God's redemption at Christ's expense, which was the acronym we used to use when I was growing up. That's more than just the fact that we're no longer under law, but we're under grace as a system. Actually, God's grace is his very character and nature expressed outworked. Grace holds the universe together. It unites and it, in a unified purpose. This outworks as he has first place in everything. Everything can become a manifestation of grace, a divine ability and purpose revealed. The fullness of glory, grace and truth are manifesting in Jesus as he has first place. Things come into harmony and resonate with the song of the universe. My whole journey has been a reconnection to who I was and a reconnection to God's intent for creation and the whole order of creation. And I felt it's grown and I've reconnected to it and I have memory of it, which has caused me to have passion for its restoration. And it's the grace of God, which is going to be out through work through the mercy of God, which is going to bring that restoration. We can all release that grace, that divine ability or creative force or energy through our bodies, our souls, our minds, our emotions, our wills, surrendered, resonating with harmony with God. We can all be trained in the ways of this supernatural ability and power. We won't need a Jedi Academy. We have everything we need to train us. We have the presence of Father, Son, and Spirit. We have wisdom. We have the seven spirits of God. We have the cloud of witnesses. They're all involved in helping us be trained in sonship, to come into the fullness of the position that we've been given as sons of God. God showed me our bodies, where the grace in our hands and our fingers releases charges of energy, lightning bolts of charged grace, anointing power that would heal and destroy the works of the enemy. He showed me emotions so charged with grace, compassion, that our very tears would be filled with anointing power to heal and restore, particularly the broken, as those tears touch them. He showed me that godly anger, like love's passion, would flow from our charged emotions to destroy the works of the devil. He showed me that our words, charged with grace anointing power, would issue creative restorative decrees that would have the power over the elements that also flow with grace. Because we can connect to all things. We're connected to everything that has been created because the very presence of God is within it all. He showed me that our wills will be charged with supernatural grace, power, strength, courage, endurance to overcome every obstacle. The more we're trained in the ways of grace, the more we would be able to see reality, like Neo in the scene from The Matrix, when he finally sees the reality of the world he's been living in and the authority he has over it. The enemy runs from him. The enemy will run from the sons of God, and creation will be drawn to us for its restoration and freedom into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We will be able to operate with the ability to bend and suspend and control the natural laws to our harmonized, resonating wills, just as Jesus did. God showed me that grace would flow from the pores of our hands like anointing oil, releasing power for creative miracles. He showed me how I can be trained in these ways. He showed me that every outer cell and every flow of grace in the body and soul could be charged and connected through our spirits as it flows through us. The rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, carrying the power of grace, the enabling power of God to change and transform, terraform this world, this universe, this created order back to its original condition. It is only when our spirit, holy and connected and joined to the Holy Spirit, one spirit within us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, connected to grace in our hands and in our words that would, with charge, power, and anointing, that could be released to change and transform things around us supernaturally. As our spirit, our innermost being, which is the very substance of grace within us, connects, flows through our unified soul and body, through the conduit of connection, which is faith, engaging with the hope of seeing from God's perspective, we'll start to begin to outwork things from a heavenly perspective and not earthly one. Hebrews 11 says the substance of now faith, because faith is the now of God. Nothing impossible is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the evidence of their reality. Now, he's not saying we can't see it in the spirit. He's saying we've not yet seen it in the flesh. And the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the physical senses. Because when we engage in the spirit and manifest and prepare things in the spirit realm, they will begin to manifest in this realm. So grace and faith work together to create. Grace within God's words resonates with grace in our surrendered wills, produces a harmony that releases that grace to manifest, to change, to transform, to restore, to reconcile, to make whole. Grace is the substance of faith, the vibrating potential force and energy pulsating within it. Grace is God's enabling power to manifest his will through our sonship. And this flowed right back to John 1:14. He, Jesus, was full of grace and truth. He is truth as well as grace. And faith is truth, hopes, dreams, and vision of his will revealed. Faith is the truth manifested in the substance that connects and charges grace in us and through us. Truth is the absolute knowledge of God's will and purpose, his very nature, righteousness expressed, love personified. Only the righteous can walk by faith, that walk of faith. Galatians 3:11, the righteous man shall live by faith. In another version, it says, man in right standing with God, the just righteous, shall live by and out of faith. He who through and by faith is declared righteous in right standing with God shall live. We are called to live in the perspective of heaven and through seeing things from God's perspective. We don't have to manufacture faith. Faith is not something we generate. Faith is gifted to us, that when we encounter the truth, faith is produced so that we believe it and we respond to it and we act in it in accordance to it. We have become or have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, the anointing, the grace of God. His enabling power has made us righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have been made righteous. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness. We've been restored back to that amazing relationship of intimacy. Truth is the very essence of love. Faith works through love, and only when we are connected to love, motivated by love, will we be connected by faith to grace. Jesus was faith demonstrated. John 5:19, he only did what he saw the Father doing, and was therefore always connected to faith, always connected to truth and love. For grace to be fully delivered in power anointing, Jesus lived in dual realms, totally flowing from the heart of the Father to outwork the Father's heart to bring healing and wholeness and restoration and reconciliation to the world lost without him. The divine enabling power or ability of God works through a righteous man who lives by faith, the substance of the dreams and visions of the Father's will revealed to us. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. When we're in that place where we're seated with God, where we're in the position of sonship in the realms of heaven, his grace is unveiled. The riches, the amazing capacity of that grace, of his divine enabling power, is revealed to us so that we can outwork it and manifest it, and so heaven can be manifested on earth through our sonship. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Even the gift of faith, it wasn't something that we had to generate. He gave it to us. And when we encounter him, it produces faith. It stirs us to believe. And grace is the outworking of the manifestation of that. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. How do we do that? Through the grace of God, who empowers us and enables us. Seated in heavenly places shows us the riches of his grace. We're saved by grace, his divine ability outworked through the power of the cross, through faith, when we resonate with the will of God. For us, all his faith is a gift. It cannot be earned or deserved by works, but only released through him in relationship. When I relate to God, when I know him, faith is produced and the grace is manifested to outwork it. We are his workmanship. Grace manifested, the form or substance of grace to do the grace works, his will, our destiny, his heart, the vast sum of his thoughts, all written on the scroll of destiny, to be written on our hearts so that we can outwork it. When I engaged grace, it unveiled my whole life's message, and the whole purpose of my life was revealed in that relationship as I discovered it. And God drew me in to an intimacy that enabled me to live out that manifest presence of God, that I live in his manifest presence, that he lives in me as a manifest presence. And I want to draw people and encourage people to come into that manifest presence of God and live in it and live out of it and manifest it, so that we can live loved. We can love living and we can live loving. We can manifest the love of God through our lives. We really need to know the love of God, to know the grace of God, to outwork that grace and live to the transformation and the restoration of all things. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will continue to reveal himself in the doctrinal and theological wilderness that we found ourselves in, of that old order to get his children to cross over into their sonship. He is breaking into that old system, revealing the grace and love of God, the power of his love. God's grace is linked totally to his love. The lavishness of his grace is because of his overwhelming love. God, how can we escape his love? We can't escape. Where can you go for my spirit, David said. We cannot go and escape the love of God. Its height, its breadth, its worth, depth, its breadth, everything. The love of God never fails. God's love never gives up on us. James 4:6 says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, pride is basically the DIY path of knowing ourselves apart from God and thinking that we know in our own self more than God does. So when God says we're his son, pride is saying, I'm nobody and I'm nothing. He gives grace to the humble. You know, in Matthew 11, Jesus said, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. To be humble in heart is to know who we are as sons of God and accept our position seated in the heavenly places in authority. It is to receive his grace, anointing, empowering, because we accept our role as a son of God. Humility, being humble, is not I'm a worm and I'm nothing and I can do nothing. In his strength, in his relationship, in our sonship, we have the divine enabling power that can bring restoration and reconciliation to all things. John 1:16, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It isn't just grace, it's grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. It is the exponentially increasing governmental perspective of God's kingdom that is going to bring wholeness, peace, to fill the created order, to bring it back into restored condition. Intimacy with Jesus, the truth, will reveal grace in fullness. We can have the fullness of that and outwork it and live it out. God said in 2017 that it was going to be a year of intense shaking. You know, 2017 for me shook me to the core in terms of my beliefs. For many, that has been true. I've heard testimony after testimony of people's experiences in life with God, encountering heaven, that have shaken the false foundations of their lives. You know, the false foundations of my presumptions and assumptions have been shaken. My mind has been deconstructed. All those things that held up the construct of my belief systems, one by one, have been demolished. Our trust in God's faithfulness has been tested. It's like, did I really trust God? That's been tested, and God has been found faithful. We can put our full trust in him. He will never let us down. He will never let us go. His love will go to the ends. 2017 was still a period of justice where the lion and the eagle functioned together, where God's government and his legislation began to be increased in more and more. But 2018 is going to be the year when the man and the ox function together in an arc of agreement. The legislative and governmental foundations of the oracles of God, his eternal heart expressed regarding our priestly function for the restoration of all things, are going to be unveiled. Restoration is so intrinsically linked with our sonship that it's going to be unveiled in its fullness, and it is going to go beyond what we can imagine or think it to be. Sonship is going to be one of the pivotal factors where the relational love of God, Father, Son, and Spirit has within himself, as I am, is unveiled in true identity. We're going to truly experience I am, and we're going to realize who we are in the context of I am. True identity is sonship, being included within the family and the circle of God's love. That is the very essence of who God is, living in love, living loved, and then loving living so that we can live loving. and demonstrate that love to the world we live in. There's an increasing creational, restorational emphasis being revealed in our sonship. The deeper and deeper we go into relationship with the Father, the deeper we're aware of his heart for the restoration of all things, which will expand and go beyond our understanding and perception. So alongside this continued deconstruction and renewal of the mind, 2017 was a challenging year where I did a lot of traveling. You know, God called me to go east, young man. And I spent a lot of time away from here, which is not what I'm used to doing. But there was a purpose in it. I went to New Zealand and China and Borneo, to South Africa, establishing relationships, helping with governmental foundations. There was a visit to Winnipeg in Canada where strong relationships were forged, revisiting Seattle in Washington and Toronto in Canada, cementing old relationships, establishing new ones. I went to a mystical school in Wales with some hungry fellow truth seekers, and it ended the year's travels. And it was a privilege to be involved in seeing hungry people around the world, connecting with people who are seekers of the truth, who are willing to go beyond, who are willing to go beyond their limitations of their own understanding, to pursue, to take that rabbit hole, to see where it leads, to find wonderland, this amazing relational connection we have with God. I had the privilege of doing a seminar at a holistic healing event, Awakened, in August. As a charity, we were invited to be their charity of the year. This was repeated from last year. And so in August, we were able to have a tent there in which we were able to administrate healing and things like that. And I was called to do a seminar. I was asked to do a seminar. And this is the title: Mystic Tradition Meets Quantum Physics. The God of the Old Age Meets the God of the New Age. And I had a privilege of meeting hungry people and using their own language, share my testimony of my supernatural engagements, walking in celestial realms, engaging the source and the creator and the light, you know, all these amazing things that I've experienced, and eventually able to reveal that this isn't an impersonal force, but the loving Father. And the source is a Father who loves us. And the light is a Son who died for us and gave his life to set us free. And it was an awful, awesome privilege. And sharing my testimony, I realized that those who are seeking after spiritual truth in this sort of new age event, most of them had never really experienced it. And also I discovered that many of them have been hurt by church and Christians who have tried to tell them that they're seeking spiritual things is wrong, and therefore they've been put off. And we need to re-engage those who are seeking for the sound and light and frequency and fragrance and resonance and harmony that exists out there in the created order. And we discovered that we could engage in new therapeutic interventions using light and sound. The revelation of that got unveiled. Friends of ours are pursuing that. You know, God started to unveil the whole thing of frequency and sound. And there was this new reality and revelatory things in frequencies that could bring alignment and restore. People are using fragrant oils and essential oils to raise frequencies in different ways. And God uses crystals. Now, for a lot of people, this will be a challenge because crystals are very much seen as a new age thing. Well, actually, it's very much old age. God created everything. He created crystals. He created those things. There were 12 crystals or gemstones on the breastplate of the high priest, which was to enable him to discern what to do. And so we've discovered that something in crystal and something in the sound that crystal produces can bring healing and wholeness. So when I went to Seattle, I went with something in my heart that God had stirred for pursuing sound. And I didn't know what it was particularly, but I knew there was more. So I went and in some of the stalls there, there were these crystal bowls. And, you know, they made this very interesting sound that resonated. And when I, as soon as I heard it, it was going round me and in me and through me. I didn't know what it was. But I was a bit sort of skeptical because, you know, that's not really my thing. But they did a workshop, and I went to the workshop. And as they were just playing these bowls, producing sounds, the sounds just opened up a whole realm for me. I could see things at a level quantum physically that I hadn't seen before, or only very rarely. And I was thinking, oh, I really would be good if I could, you know, have one of these bowls and take it home and show people. But I thought, well, I'm never going to get it home because, you know, I had to travel back to England. But someone who was there gave me one, you know, said God, he felt God wanted me to give him one. So he gave me one, which I really appreciated. And I started to play with it and just realized that I could let my spirit, through intent, release things through those crystals, through the sound, through the frequency it produced. And I came back and shared it, and we began to pursue it. And we got a set of 7 crystal bowls with the colors of the rainbow. And we found that as we've been playing them, the intent that is released through it is a carrier wave of healing, of wholeness, of revelation, of peace, whatever is passed through it. We're going to use those sounds and frequencies and harmonies and different sounds to pursue a deeper level. Now, a lot of people will say, well, this is just going off into some weird, really weird stuff. Well, yeah, it is weird. And I have to acknowledge that. But I also know that the truth that I've experienced when I've engaged it has been a truth that has resonated with what I experience in the realms of heaven. And some of what I've experienced in the frequencies of heaven are encapsulated when you play these crystal bowls and release the sound that's within them to resonate. Because God holds all things together by the voice of his power. When God spoke, he spoke creation into being. We're all made up of frequency vibrating at certain levels. So that was a very new thing for me this year. At the end of the year, in December, it was great to be sharing at a conference in the southwest of England with a regional bench of 3 that I'm part of. And we invited Justin Abraham to come and speak with us. And that was a real highlight. And I believe that will bring much fruit, bringing together people from different streams and different things to flow together. I believe God is highlighting the need for a relationship across the divides, the need to be supportive of each other within this flow of what we're all part of and what God is doing, and to be accepting of our differences and to realize that we have different ways of expressing things and doing things, but we're all part of what God is doing to release his love, to demonstrate this mystic union that we have with him, to unveil the truth of our relationship with him supernaturally engaging in the realms of heaven. In 2018, I'm not going to be doing so much traveling because we're going to be focused here on Suns Arise conferences and intensives and live streaming things, because we want to focus on sonship. We want to focus on helping to equip people to come into their sonship. We will do that intensively through activations, engagements, going back into the Yesod of God, going back to connect with who you were in the heart of God. I mean, amazing things that God's unveiling, that we can experience a reaffirmation of who we are. So we're going to do that. We're going to do a fatherhood and sonship conference, engaging a dark cloud intensive where we can go deeper and deeper into the things of God. Sons invested and enthroned, living in dual realms on earth as it is in heaven, and deconstruction and restoration. These will be intensive occasions where we can really get into the depths of things. I will be sharing a lot of teaching I've not shared before. I will be sharing things at a level I've not shared it before, because we want to really go deeper. God is calling sons to arise, to take their places in the heavenly realms. He's calling us to come out of the old into the new. The greatest scandal of the ages is about to be uncovered, and my love is about to be revealed as never before. This is something that God said, you know, and I want to share some of the things he said in my journals. The doctrines and religious mindsets that have masked my truth, my true nature, are going to be exposed and challenged. Son, be bold and courageous. Don't hold back from revealing the whole truth of the extravagant, abundant, lavish, overflowing nature of my love, grace, and mercy. Son, I've removed the last pillars within your mind and the last protective layers from around your heart. Now you're free to experience the depths of intimacy that will explode the myths of religion that have held you captive. Now you can come with me to the depths of my love. Your house is now in ruins. Let the flow of life begin to form the tree within your mind. Let the roots go deep, planted by streams of living water. This was something God started to think up. As he deconstructed my mind, I asked him, well, what's going to replace it? What's going to replace this system of belief? He said, the tree of life. Therefore, the flow that comes out of the very life of God. Let the streams now bridge the gulfs to connect to the mysteries so long locked away, inaccessible, but now able to flow with life, light and sound. And my mind has been remapped and my spiritual consciousness has reconnected with my physical consciousness so that abilities and areas of things that I have lost have been restored. One day I was engaging with God and God said, you know, son, do you see it? And he took me to engage and he asked me the question. And I said this, yes, Father, I see the light and life of love, the mind of Christ illuminated by love, revealing your thoughts as the energy of love. And I was engaging with the mind of Christ, not really understanding what it's about, but engaging with it nonetheless. And I began to just share some of my experiences. They aren't intellectually understood. They are experienced, and I'm just sharing them. I see the color of thought. I see the knowing and the responses to knowing. I see love in action, overcoming all obstacles. I see otherly love, self-giving love. I see you and how sad to see the contrast with who you have been made to be. What religion has made him to be. When I met, really started to connect with him heart to heart, I was so sad that I had so misinterpreted and so misunderstood and had so much misrepresented to me. And it's like I was just bursting with it. It's like I scream it out, I shout it out, that your love, the most amazing, wondrous love that never ends, never gives up, never relents until you can give it all. God wants us to experience it, know it. I love you. Therefore, I love the world and I give myself to you and its restoration. His love has inspired me to pursue restoration. As I'm revealed, it will polarize opinion. This is God speaking. Within the religious, and many will come out of the wilderness into the new, but really old revelation of who I am. You see, we think of what we are experiencing as something new, but in reality, it's just old. It's always been, but we're just discovering it as like it's a new thing. But God has always been that way. He's always been love. He's always had a circle of relational love, wanting to draw people into it. Sadly, many will oppose the truth and cling on to the lies of religion, which paints me in a way that the world does not want, and which puts my children into bondages of fear. Warfare will break out and many who have crossed will go back to the old, not willing to let go of the old false beliefs that are so debilitating. The children of Israel crossed, 2.5 tribes decided they were going to settle on the other side. The political spirit will join forces with the religious spirit to create warfare. Do not fight with them. Do not give them the opportunity to try and prove their points. Stand firm, don't argue, and be drawn into battles that cannot be won. It is love that will win over the hearts and minds of those on the sidelines observing some of these battles. The world will observe something the church will observe as people, the political and religious spirit, tries to pull down what God is doing. I will open hearts through love. They will not be opened by the self-righteous and religious doctrines and dogma. The sword of the Lord is about to fall. The dividing line will be love. Those that cross will know me as love. Those that defend the old will try and make the issue about truth. I am the truth. I am love. and truth without love is religion and death. I will separate and the line will be who I am as love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is forbearing, love does not punish, torment, or separate forever. I am love, and love never fails, and love will overcome all, even death, the result of sin. Death and sin have been defeated by the cross and through the resurrection, and the second death will not be able to separate me from my children. Love wins. Love overcomes. Nothing can separate you from my love. Stand firm on my love, and you will not be shaken by the attacks of the political spirit. Answer everything with love, as love has already won the hardest battle. Son, your journey is not one of discovering who I am, although you will. It is how you will discover who you were truly created to be, who you are in sonship. Son, the scandal and lies that have been perpetrated by religion is being exposed. False doctrines that are bondages have misrepresented me, and therefore you mirrored in me. I will not be veiled and hidden beneath the covering of these lies, dressed up as truth any longer. I am going to reveal myself in the message of an extravagant love that is unlimited in its extent and unstoppable in its force. My kingdom will come and my will be done on earth as it is within me. As it is within, so it will be without. Son, raise up ambassadors who will represent true love to a world bereft and in its lostness. The true conflict rages as it is done from the beginning through the father of lies, who leads by deception on the wrong path of self-centered works and conceals the path of the life of grace and faith revealed in love. Love wins. Love never fails. Love overcomes. Love never ever gives up. The power of love is beyond everything, and that is what I have been revealing to you through your encounters within me. Son, continue to allow me to stretch your tent pegs, to do that beyond the boundaries, to go beyond. I will unveil beyond what you can imagine or think to reveal who you are and what sonship is truly intended to be. The creative capacities of sonship are the divine essence unleashed from the religious restrictions of the matrix of dogma that you have seen for yourself. Son, if you substitute love for all expressions that have been limited me, you will have glimpsed true reality. Exchange what you think you have known about me for love, and a whole new reality will unfold. Love is what was and will become what is, to be expressed in what will be. Son, let nothing diminish, obscure, or devalue the truth that I am love. Son, it is only love that can conquer and win. All else will be soulish battles to prove yourself right, and that is the self-righteousness of the wrong pathway. Son, this is the point, not to be right, but to be love. Son, live loved. Live love. Love living. And live loving. It's all about love. This is the key to live loved. To live love, to love living, and live loving. Son, I am love, therefore righteousness, godliness, godlikeness, and all fruit are expressions of love. I am a lover. I live to love, and love to live. Love. Love is in essence I am, which is the circle of love expressed in Father, Son, and Spirit's perfect oneness. Of love, not as an emotion, but a relationship, where all thoughts expressed, all words spoken, all actions taken are love. Love is the circle of conversation, communion, fellowship of oneness. The one is three, the three is one. Son, you can be one as we are one. One body, soul and spirit, oneness unified, restored to godlikeness, to be the light of the love to the world. If I am lifted up as love, so that the world can see me, they will be drawn to the light of your rising. Son, you are to be love's light by being in the circle of love and being in the circle of love's family. Jesus is with us. He promises never to leave us. The Prince of Peace wants to pour out upon us from heaven the joy and fullness of his grace. He wants to bring us into the reality of it. We can spend a few moments just engaging, allowing the very love of God, the revelation of his grace to come all around us, to touch our hearts, to set our hearts on fire. So I just encourage you just to close your eyes. I encourage you just to begin to think of Jesus. Just consciously by choice, give Jesus permission to encounter you in love, to reveal the height and breadth and depth, how far this love will go. I encourage you just to give your hearts to Jesus. Let the fire of his love burn deep within you. Let love's passion overwhelm you. Just receive the call to sonship. Just let your heart be consumed with passion and love. Let that revelation of the grace of God, his divine enabling power, just wash over you. Just let him, the consuming fire and passion of love, consume you, empower you, endue you with sonship. Hear sonship's call to respond to the groaning of creation, the longing for our sonship to be revealed. Respond. Arise as sons of God. Call to be seated in heavenly places. Just allow his love, that passion to burn in you. Restore in you the desire for the restoration of all things, having a ministry of reconciliation. Just encourage you to let love take you back to the source, to draw you back into the eternal heart of God, to reveal the very character and nature of God, and to reveal as a mirror, reflecting back who he created you to be, revealing the vast sum of his thoughts towards you, restoring you to sonship, revealing the very nature that you can be gentle and humble in heart. Just take on that yoke of love. Let Jesus take you back to the very heart of the Father, the very womb of your creation, that place where the vast sum of his thoughts can wash over you, endue you, restore you, and make you whole.